Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's program. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, you will have the opportunity to ask questions during the question-and-answer session. You may register to ask a question at any time by pressing star and one on your touch-tone phone, and you may withdraw yourself from the queue by pressing the pound key. Please note this call may be recorded. I will be standing by should you need any assistance. It is now my pleasure to turn the conference over to Mr. Craig Gurian. You may begin, sir.
Great, thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Bulk Account Transfer Industry Call. My name is Craig Gurian. I am a Director of Product Management in DTCC's Equities Clearance Division. And for about the last 6 months, I've been working with industry participants to help produce a standard name and address file that can be used to facilitate the beginning stage of a bulk account transfer. The goal of today's call is to educate everyone on the initiative, why we are doing this, and make sure the industry understands their role in the process. Hopefully, everyone has seen the recent press release and copy of the bulk transfer concept paper dated back on September 9th. If you didn't, you can access it via www.dtcc.com under the news section. And if you did, hopefully it provided you with a good backdrop to why we need the industry to come together at this point and begin creating a standard structure to move accounts quickly and efficiently in the event the firm falls into financial distress. And the key point is begin creating a standard structure, a standard structure that does not exist today. You'll see in the concept paper that the title specifically says phase one, name and address file. This is in recognition that there will be multiple phases of this initiative, and the phase we're focusing on today is only one piece of the puzzle. It's a starting point. It just focuses on a standard structure to move initial customer account information over from one firm to another. Additional phases would address the actual asset transfer piece. During this call today, you're going to hear from senior industry leaders, including Tom Sakaris from DTCC, Mike Macchiaroli and Lawrence Holmes from the SEC, as well as Bill Wallman and Rosemarie Finelli of FINRA. All of these individuals will provide insight on why this is so important and why we need to work together as an industry to improve these processes to protect the investors. Before we begin the call, I would like to go through some logistics. As mentioned earlier, this session will be recorded along with a second session next week. From both of these sessions, we do plan to put together an audio session that will be posted to DTCC.com and can be sent to others later in case they miss the call. We will open up the call midway through the agenda for a part one Q&A where the operator will queue up the questions and open up the line. At all other times, the phone lines will be muted, so we have minimal phone interruptions. In terms of what to expect for the call today, we will begin with an introduction and insight from DTCC, followed by discussion with the SEC and FINRA. At that point, we will open up the call for a first round of questions. Once that concludes, we will continue with a high-level overview of the industry requirements for the initial phase of the initiative, followed by a discussion where we will share some of the initial feedback received. Then I will come back to wrap up the call and begin another round of Q&A. So now I would like to introduce Tom Sakaris of DTCC to begin the discussion. Tom?
Thank you, Craig, for the opportunity to provide, you know, my comments on this important initiative. And thanks to all on the phone today for taking the time to participate in this discussion. As Craig mentioned, we want to broadly disseminate to the industry information related to this bulk account transfer initiative. And I think you would all agree that our primary responsibility is investor protection. Clearly, the 2008 financial crisis and other events since then exposed weaknesses in achieving that objective, specifically as it relates to this call, the industry's ability to transfer accounts in bulk. So why are we concerned about bulk transfer? So as an example, if a firm is in distress, customers are at risk in many different ways. And if the customer ultimately fails, the remaining customers will be subject to CIPC liquidation and will not have access to their investments for a period of time. Currently, there's no, as Greg said before, industry-wide standard process and industry-wide agreed-upon formats to bulk transfer, which causes delays, thus risk to the investors. We realized that we needed to come together as an industry to define the solution, as this can't be resolved in a vacuum. So we began discussions earlier this year with regulators, with SIFMA, select firms within the broker-dealer community to define steps toward a solution, specifically as it relates to this first phase, establishing a standard name and address file format and staging of bulk customer account information so that the new BD can establish customer accounts in a timely and accurate manner. The bulk transfer of assets will be a second phase, as Greg alluded to, in terms of how we progress through this whole initiative. As it relates to the industry-wide standard name and address file, it was agreed that with this industry group that the DTCC AIT account information transfer service can be leveraged to link the two firms together. But more on that a bit later. I now want to introduce Mike Macaroli from the SEC to say a few words on this topic. Mike?
Yes, just briefly, Tom, too. I mean, as you've pretty well summarized it, I mean, when we started the thing, our idea is to minimize the disruption in customer activities without undue stress. I mean, we've seen the stress happen in the case, particularly of Lehman, when we were at Bear Stearns, you know, we were worried how the heck we were going to do this back in 08. But we appreciate DTC's participation in this. I think it's absolutely essential that they participate. It would apply, obviously, this business owner would apply largely to clearing firms, and we hope that everyone will cooperate. We're going to need FINRA's input in the development of the rules. I think it's preferable that FINRA develop the rules, although we could do it. I think the FINRA has a better handle on the everyday workings of the folks and is in a better position in most cases to discuss things with the firm. This will also support the broker-dealer resolution plans, we believe, where the larger firms have been asked by the Fed how they're going to dispose of the customer business, and they've always talked about transferring or disposing of their own firms, and this will certainly make it a lot easier to move customer relationships to another firm. Now, luckily, none of the people on the firm will only be receiving customer securities. I'm not sure who will be actually sending them, but we hope we hope, frankly, this never happens again, but we want to be prepared in the event it does. So FINRA will we are not in a position right now to be too clear as to what rules will be needed. In other words, if there's voluntary effort, that'll be fine, but we need a total solution, and in fact, we need everyone to participate in this. So there may have to be compulsory, some sort of requirement that each person, in effect, be prepared to either receive or send securities in the event of distress, obviously without defining what that word means. And again, we would not be determining the distress situation or requiring that the customer assets be transferred. It would only be that if they needed to be transferred, somebody make that decision, then the firms would be prepared to either receive or to accept the securities, depending on how many firms were needed for the process. Again, DTC has been an active participant from the beginning, and we appreciate their help, and FINRA as well, who's been also an active participant from the beginning. So that's all I have, Tom.
Thanks, Mike. Bill, would you provide some comments? Bill Rosemary?
No, it's hard to follow Mike. He always says things so well. I mean,
yeah.
I think overall we support this type of initiative. We've seen the need, you know, hopefully not just in times of crisis, but even through normal conversions of accounts, we could see benefits to something like this. So I think it's worth exploring.
Thank you.
All right. So with that said, Steve, the operator, can you please queue up some questions, or if, I don't know if there's been any questions in the queue at this point. We could just take a break for some initial questions, and then we can continue with the call.
At this time, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star and one on your touch-tone phone. You may withdraw yourself from the queue at any time by pressing the pound key. Once again, it is star and one if you'd like to ask a question. Our first question is from Chris Dotto. Your line is open. Chris, your line is open.
Yep, thank you. Who was going to initiate this process if something was to happen?
So I think that, in terms of the initiation of declaring a firm from a distress perspective, when it would be declared, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
So I don't know if somebody from Larry or somebody from your
side. Let me try. I mean, we're not going to firms usually when there is a stress situation, usually firms recognize it and want to do whatever they can to maximize customer protection. So I don't believe we have the authority to order people to transfer accounts. And I'm not sure FINRA does, but in generally speaking, the firms recognize the need to do that. Either they're a net capital violation, unable to get out of it, or there's some stress with the customer assets that the firm has. I mean, that's been our normal experience. So there, we ask the firm to, the firm, it's up to the firm, in effect, to take the, because what we want to do is avoid a SIPC liquidation, which ties customers up in knots. So we want to do a transfer of accounts before there's a SIPC liquidation. Usually the firms recognize the need to do that, and the firms themselves don't want to get entangled. And most of the management does not want to get entangled in the SIPC liquidation. So they generally, firms will recognize the need to do something to protect the customers. And we do not. We don't instruct people to do it. It's a question of the firm realizing that the only alternative to a SIPC is usually an orderly transfer of accounts.
And, you know, and I guess I would add, if the firm's in a wind-down situation, then it's obvious, and the tool will just help and provide more order around, you know, customers' fears, knowing that it's in wind-down, but we have this process in place that provides a timelier a method for customers to leave. So it creates some calm, at least from a customer run perspective, I would assume. And if it's not, you know, a wind down, if it's sort of like a jump to default situation, but at least we know we have something there that, you know, as Mike said, you know, firms generally want to protect customers that they could, you know, since they would be prepared, and every firm would be prepared, you know, to use this, they can just provide all this customer account information over however it was designated to one or many firms, and can do it in a number of different ways. But at least the vehicle will be there and help support, you know, the movement of customers out. It's clearly a big issue, you know, since 2008, right? So it's clearly something we want to try to avoid in the future.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Our next question is from Jason Gralla. Your line is open.
Hi, thanks. Jason Gralla from JPMorgan. So just a quick question. Is this initiative, obviously in a distress type situation, right? This is where we want this to kick in, but can this be also used you know, outside of distress situations for, like, say, deconversions with the offset tape-to-tapes?
So what I've heard so far, I mean, obviously the scope of this right now is to deal with a distress situation, but I have heard that there may be an opportunity to leverage this and maybe expand it maybe for normal situations as well. So there is interest in doing that. I think right now we've just, the scope has been to really concentrate on the distress situation and the data needed for that particular scenario. But I think there is opportunity to expand it and create a standard for more normal conversion situations as well.
Thank you.
Larry.
Does someone else have a comment?
That's fine. No.
Our next question is from Giulio Francello. Your line is open.
Yes, hi. It's Giulio Fraschiello from National Financial Services. My question is with respect to the client. If we're in a distressed situation or financial firms in a distressed situation, I'm assuming this wouldn't be positive response. Is there some contemplation that there'd be customer notification, so it would be a negative response? But typically today there's a certain amount of time that a client has to respond. In this situation, are we anticipating that it would simply be a notification and we would move forward with moving the client's assets over, or would we still be giving them a period of time to get back to the firm to respond negatively?
Well, it depends on the time available, I think. And obviously, the real distress situation where you have to move the customers, I mean, we would use FINRA's, FINRA has adopted rules relating to that, and they can speak to that. But generally, we've acceded to that where no affirmative consent would be needed in a distress situation. But there are, I think, clear guidelines, Bill, if I'm not wrong, or Rose, that we would have to defer to that if there was an extraordinary case where there was no time in effect and there was a need for urgency. I mean, we can't wait around while the house is burning down in order to, you know, to do things. So,
thank you. And just one other question. Are we anticipating that all assets would be covered here? So the goal would be to move all assets, regardless of how challenging they may be?
That is the ultimate goal. I don't think DTC, we were concentrating mostly on equity securities in the beginning, or whatever is housed at DTC. Obviously, if the securities are in a in a foreign location, or are other kinds of assets, some of which are held at banks, then it presents a different problem. But the idea, at least, is to be able to transfer the customers. Make sure that the receiving firm knows enough about the customers so that it continues to transact business, and then hopefully the assets would follow. Larry, the idea is to transfer all assets, because if there's some stuck in the firm, we want to avoid any kind of liquidation process that's a court process.
Yeah, we were going to get to, in the second phase, a lot of those issues. These are real issues. The first phase, as Greg mentioned when we opened up the call, is really about the customer account information. We want to be able to, you know, accomplish something, at least get that done first, and then talk about the various methods and ways to transfer assets, no matter where they're held. But I'm sure there's complexities, as Mike alluded to, whether it's bank or whether it's foreign or somewhere else, that we're going to have to get into and to see what role DTCC can play in the total scope of that process. But we're not 100% sure yet. We haven't scoped that out yet.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Our next question is from Dennis Young. Your line is open.
Yes, I'm wondering whether or not FINRA has any estimated time frame in which they are going to start discuss or putting out discussion for comments or rulemaking ideas. It seems a little premature to talk about format if FINRA hasn't established the framework for that yet.
Well, I think we're waiting to see what the reaction is here, and really the SEC led this initially, so I don't think we're ready to move yet on any type of specific proposal.
Do you have any kind of estimate on when that might happen?
Mike?
Soon.
This year?
We're moving it as fast as we can, but we do need, I mean, there's a lot of things that have to be done. Larry Holmes here and other folks, who else is working, Tom McGowan, have been working on this. Have you been working on it too, Ray? Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of our folks have been working, but DTC has been obviously crucial in this process, and Rose Finelli and Bill and his other folks have been working on it. But it's going to require, we've developed some format. Larry?
Yeah, the one comment I would make is that the format for the name and address record, which should house certain data elements, you know, that are certainly required, the industry, there was an industry working group that helped to define those requirements, so at least we got that piece of the puzzle defined. The other important piece of it at this stage is just the service that DTC will have available to actually move the data in a secure manner. And that certainly pre-exists, and for folks to actually use that service, it's a relatively simple process.
Not to belabor the point, but are we talking about within a year to get some kind of discussion for comment?
Yeah, I think we could do a year. We could, we'll get the folks together, but I think a year now to actually finally implement, it'd probably be longer than that. Yeah.
Oh, understood. FINRA already has a rule regarding the mandated use of ACATS. Is it reasonable to assume that if both sides are ACATS eligible, they would also be required to use this service?
Essentially, that's a fair statement. The general principle would be that they would be NSCC members.
But can ACATS do the whole thing? It depends on the number of counts.
No, ACATS is not really the option. I just refer to the concept paper regarding a discussion about ACATS and why it's not necessarily suitable for what has to be done. The idea is to leverage some of the tools and techniques that are used by clearing firms to do conversions, as opposed to trying to push all the accounts through the ACAT process, which was really designed for moving one account at a time.
It's Tom Sakaris. I would just throw in my comments that the only way this can really work, that we can ensure customers are protected throughout the entire industry, is that any brokerage account that holds customers needs to participate in this new process, right? Because if someone doesn't participate, that means those group accounts aren't protected. And as I said before, customer protection is key. So, we'll see what happens with the rulemaking process, whether it's firms that currently have to use ACATS have to use this, or if there's some other mandatory way to ensure everybody's involved. But that's the only way you can protect all customers. Everybody has to play.
Well, that talks about broker-dealers. What about other non-broker entities that are holding assets, such as banks? Are you suggesting or are you considering bringing them into this as well?
I'll throw that out.
Extent, let me see if I've got the question right. Are you assuming that the bank owes the securities directly to the customer, or are you assuming that they owe it to the broker who owes it to the customer?
I'm talking about directly held by a bank rather than
for the benefit of the customer.
Right.
I mean, for the customer. Then we're not. I mean, that's not our. That's not our jurisdiction. Yeah. We're looking just at brokers who owe customers, no matter where the securities are. They could be at a bank, but they're owed to the broker, in effect, who's holding them for the customer.
So in that situation, you're basically saying the bank is a custodian for customer assets for the broker-dealer, but to the extent that it's just a bank holding on behalf of the customer, it's not contemplated to be part of this. That's a different jurisdiction.
Yes.
All right, thanks.
And our next question.
I would like to just
pause on the questions, and we will have time at the end of the call, but at this point we're about a half hour into it, and we would just like to get through the rest of the agenda to just give firms a opportunity to hear more about the requirements and what we've come up with regarding the name and address file. So I hope everyone will get an opportunity to ask their questions, but I just want to see if we can get through some more of the information session. So if we can mute the line, we'll go through the rest of it, and then we should have plenty of time to open the lines again for more questions. Okay. So in regard to the firm requirements and some of the stuff that we worked on as a group, we mentioned as part of this first phase really two requirements. One, is, as mentioned earlier, is a subscription to an existing service that was felt would be probably a good service to leverage to be able to create a transport infrastructure where firms are connected. And again, that's one item off the checklist. Firms are connected in case of this event. And that's called the Account Information Transmission Service. It's the AIT service. This service is utilized today by firms for their conversions. The way they use it today, though, there isn't a standard format. Firms send their own proprietary files through the service, and they have agreed upon formats between each other. That's great if there's ability to plan the process and work through what the interpretation of files, but in the event of a distress situation where things have to happen more quickly, not having a standard in place and not having some type of file language in place makes it a lot more difficult. So step one would be being able to connect to DTCC utilizing this AIT service, which again, it's an existing service used by some firms today, and it would use existing connections that you already have to NSCC. The second piece of the firm requirement would be the standard name and address file that I'm going to discuss at a high level for this call. It's basically what we did is we put together really a variable flat file it's under 60 data elements. Really, the data elements that were identified were data elements that really the minimum required to open up an account at a receiving firm, really a shell account. You will be communicating out the implementation guide that shows exactly what the spec entails. So what the requirement would really be is for a firm that would have to give up the accounts, the build really would be to be able to extract those data elements, again, which are basic elements that you would have in your system. Extract it into this file and be able to send it through DTCC, and then of course the receiving firm being able to take that file in and get it into your system. So what that really does again is it just creates it's one piece that would be checked off in the case of this event occurring, where you wouldn't have to start agreeing on a format between parties. It would already be in place. As we said, this is the staging of account. It's basic account information. It's broken up into two parts. One is account level information, information that it's actually spelled out at a high level in the concept paper. It's the brokerage account numbers, some registration type information, such as if it's a single joint IRA account, account type, whether it's a cash account, a margin account, whether it's an investment advisor account, discretionary account, is it a corporate account? Is there option levels on the account or options, whether options can be traded in the account? So those are some of the pieces of account level information that were identified. And then the next section is basic customer account information. the role of the customer, they're an owner, a joint owner, beneficiary, obviously the name of the owner, the mailing and legal addresses, communication types such as phone numbers and emails, what the citizenship is, tax status, W-8, W-9 certifications, a little information about net worth, income. Is it a large trader? If so, we will have a large trader ID. If there's an institutional account, there will be a field for legal entity ID. So what we identified and as part of the group is a very basic file. It's under 60 data elements at this point to really just start the process. We realize that there's more to it, but we're just trying to get something going. Nothing exists today, so this would be a good starting point. With that said, I'm going to transition over to Larry from the SEC, who is going to share some of the feedback. And actually, some of it was already discussed in some of the Q&A, but we'll cover some of the additional feedback that we've received so far from firms. Larry?
Sure. Just a couple of comments, some of which has already been sort of covered in a certain kind of way. But as mentioned, this is just a start. It's really just staging the conversion process. There's no attempt to sort of regulate or try and cover every single aspect of doing the conversion. I mean, what needs to happen is firms need to be operationally ready to move the accounts. So this sort of gets to the question of cost, right? So everybody's got cost concerns, but it's really a function of what your system requires, where the data is held, and whether or not you're with one of the service providers. Now, the major service providers have been involved in this process with us, so they're certainly aware of what the implications are for their system and certainly on behalf of anybody that's using them. If you have a proprietary system, then of course, you know, there's certain things that are unknown. But in any event, just to go back to what Craig had said and maybe Tom Sakaris had said, we're really talking about just creating a flat file of 58 data elements. The connectivity to DTC service already is pre-existing for most firms, and it's a matter of flipping a switch. Another question that's come up on a couple of occasions is the subject of privacy and whether or not customer information is going to be held somewhere or in a database or something like that. And I just want to emphasize that it's strictly a pass-through process between the two firms. No data would be held anywhere, and any validation or editing and things like that can be done between the two firms as they work through the process. We did talk about the whole issue of negative consent, so no need to go over that. And like most conversions, there's a lot of pieces that really are what you'd call game time decisions. They're decisions that have to be made when the actual event is occurring and the sorts of things that are unique to the firms involved that you can't sort of pre-plan for necessarily. What we're trying to do is make sure some of the basic things are in place to support what may be required. If there's accounts that have to be repapered and things of that nature, you'd have to do that in any event. And you can't necessarily anticipate or build that into what we're doing to create the basic architecture. So, Craig, I'm going to hand it back to you to pick up on questions, next steps, and so on.
Right. Thanks, Larry. So just to wrap up, and then we can open it up again for questions. I know there's probably a lot more questions from the firm. So just in a quick wrap-up, obviously, there's still a lot of additional communications that have to go out to firms. We need to publish a draft of the implementation guide. We really think it's important, even as the rule filing process starts and proceeds, for the firms to have an opportunity to look at what we're talking about with regard to the file format and really start getting a sense of what it would mean to your firm. From a build perspective, so the implementation guide will map out, you know, the input and output mechanisms, how to send the file in and receive the file in, and really what the and it really has the record layout so you can see what's involved. There'll be additional communications on obviously the rule filing and the proceedings of that, and that will dictate really what the ultimate timeline is and the expectations from firms. I know in the concept paper we did put in a target date of later in 2016. That's subject to how we proceed with the necessary rule filings, and I think that'll certainly have a timeline impact. But we will communicate that out. If you have any questions, certainly feel free to contact your relationship managers, and all questions will be sent appropriately to the right place to get answers. With that said, I do want to open it up for additional questions. So, operator?
Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star and one on your touch-tone phone. And you may withdraw yourself from the queue by pressing the pound key. Once again, it is star and one if you'd like to ask a question. Our first question is from Eric Marquis. Your line is open.
Hi, good afternoon. It was touched on since I originally wanted to ask it, but it was related to the cost. So if it is mandated, right, has there been any consideration given to the cost and also the maintenance of a process like this, right, as maybe new required fields become available across the industry that firms need to accommodate through their name and address system, then would those be driven by DTCC? To manage that process.
So the question, and Greg, maybe this is came out in your industry discussions. So to the extent there are changes in the file formats, will we be disseminating the file formats out to the industry?
Absolutely. So we'll maintain the file formats, and certainly all the file formats are based on what the industry requirements are. If there are changes to the file formats, we'll manage that like any other file format that we would manage. We would make changes, and we would disseminate the information to the industry. And so we would come out with obviously the file format that's programmed, and it, later on if there's we probably would have to have some type of enhancement period where we would make changes, and we would have to test those changes, and they would have to be scheduled out like any process that we have at DTCC.
Okay, thank you. And just curious if there has been consideration as it relates to the cost. Would it be just a subscriber, like a subscriber fee similar to AIT, maybe just a little more?
So we are actually looking at, so the AIT service currently, we're looking at, it's a subscription to the AIT service, which is a $200 monthly fee. So that's what we're looking at maintaining at this point for this service. Obviously, there's resources involved in signing everyone up, maintaining the service, making changes to the service. So there's costs involved. So there needs to be a continue with a subscription fee, so $200 a month, which is the existing fee. And then, of course, whatever the build is for firms on their side to map and create the file.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And as a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, it is star and one on your touch-tone phone. Our next question is from Shane Keller. Your line is open.
Yes, I just like to know, is this intended to ultimately replace ACATS for all transfers, or is ACATS still going to be used for individual transfers and this will only be used for bulk transfers?
It's strictly for this bulk transfer process. There aren't any plans to replace what we're doing in ACATS. This is strictly for this bulk transfer process.
And it was hit upon earlier in terms of positive and negative consent. So clearly, we don't want to get in front of clients, wanting to do, what they have the right to do, to move to another firm, to go to another firm, and positively request their accounts to be transferred, et cetera. So there is, it's two separate things. It will not replace ACATS, no.
Thank you.
And once again, if you'd like to ask a question, it is star and one on your touchtone phone. It appears we have no further questions at this time.
Okay. Well, then I guess I would like to just thank everyone, one, for joining today. Again, we are having another call next Monday at 2 o'clock. If anyone, you know anybody that missed today's call that would like to join next Monday, we're going to do a repeat of this call to make sure as many firms as possible can hear this. And again, we are going to send out a recording as well for firms that have missed both sessions. If you have any follow-up questions, please speak with your relationship managers, and all questions will be funneled appropriately. I would like to thank all the participants today. I'd like to thank Mike and Larry at the SEC, I'd like Bill and Rosemary at FINRA, and Tom at DTCC. Thank everyone for participating, and have a great day.